The church, the millennial reign of Christ and things like that, and we've been talking about the rapture, and so tonight I'll finish up on that, and I want to preach on, and I'm going to call it When God Stops the Clock. How about that? When eventually that's going to happen, when God stops the clock on everything, and we'll talk about that tonight. But let's read our scripture first, Revelation 22. And we'll start with verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, he started it, he'll end it. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the holy city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Right. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, if you will, all the men, fathers, grandfathers, whatever you might be, if you'd like to join us around the altar, we want to start the new year off right, and we'll pray for our families, we'll pray for our church, and if you don't want to, that's fine, but pray where you are if you can't get down here. Fellas, come on down, don't be shy, just find you out a spot. If I was feeding you, you'd been down here. Come on. Come on, just sit, kneel. If you can get up, Neil, if you can't get up, stand. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, we as the church family, or the Bible says, pray ye therefore one for another.
Yes.
We're to pray for one another. You're to pray for your church. You're to pray for your nation. And listen, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We'll be moved by the Holy Ghost. And so let's do that tonight. And if you will, you don't have to pray out loud. You can if you want to, and we could do a bunch of praying, but we're just going to call on one to pray tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know if you don't come from a church that does that, that might feel a little strange, but it's good. I remember when the first camp meeting I went to, I was young, 24 years old, and Billy's daddy and his uncle took me to, I didn't know what a camp meeting was, and they took me to this place over in Indian Trail. And I was, like I said, I was 24 years old. I didn't grow up in church. I'd never seen anything like that, much less church. I was just getting used to church. And we had two guys that would say amen. One of them sat right there, and the other one sat over there at our church. And wasn't a whole lot of shouting or nothing going on, you know. Went down there to that camp meeting. This fella got up there, and he said, I want all the men to meet over here in this field and all the women to meet over here in this field. And there must have been, you know, 500 people there. And we got out there in that field, and he said, I want everybody to get in a circle. So all those men make a big old giant circle. He said, now I'm going to call on Brother so-and-so to lead us in prayer. He said, Brother so-and-so, pray. And when he started praying, everybody in there started praying. And they were shouting and hollering in their prayers, and I'm sitting back there. It scared me to death. I ain't never seen it. I'm thinking, Lord, is this you? Lord, are you in on this? I ain't never found a bunch of people pray like this. They were crying. Some of them was walking around, looking up at heaven, weeping and praying out loud. And it scared me, but it was good. Amen. After that, I went to a bunch of them. And I never did walk around. I cried a lot, but I never did do a whole lot of walking around going on. But don't fear praying out loud with people. Don't do that. Amen. And I'll meet people in the mall and places, and they'll say, put us on your prayer list and pray for us. I said, well, let's pray right now.
Yeah.
And pray out loud. It's a good testimony, and plus it makes them feel better, because you'll lie to them anyway if you say, we'll put you on. You won't do it. You'll forget their name before you get out of Walmart. Right. Amen. Revelation 22. I want to talk to you tonight. Now, it's the end of the year, and I always preach a New Year's message. But I got thinking about this. This goes right along. We started off with the rapture of the church, the trumpet of sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And then the 7-year tribulation period here on earth, where God pours out his wrath on earth, and the Antichrist appears, and the false prophet appears, and the beast appears while we're up in heaven, and we appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for our works, for reward or loss of reward, not salvation. We got that settled the day we got saved.
Yeah.
And then I preached about the Great Supper, where after we get our judgment done, we get our rewards, we'll go to the marriage feast of the Lamb.
Amen.
And I looked down here and I told some homie fella, I don't remember who he was, I said, you're going to make a pretty bride. I think it was you. And I said, you're going to make a pretty bride. You look good in white. Amen. And we preached about that. And we preached about the millennial reign, the 1,000 years. We're going to come back with him riding horses. And I don't even like horses, but we're going to be riding horses. And he's going to be on a white one. And he's going to have a sash that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
And we'll come back with him. We're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on planet Earth. We in our immortal, eternal, sinless bodies, never to sin again. During that 1,000 years, I said people will be born, because there'll still be human beings on the earth. That's why you got to rule them with a rod of iron. And they'll have babies. So at the end of that 1,000 years, Jesus has to turn the devil loose so he can try those people whose faith may not be real. They're only saying they believe in him because he makes them. So he turns old Satan loose. He gets him out of hell, and he turns him loose, and then he deceives people and turns them against God. And at the end of that time, it's the Armageddon, the great battle of good and evil, the great battle of God and his people against the devil and his people. And then I preached about the earth is going to be destroyed. The Bible says it'll melt with a fervent heat. And then the heavens and the earth, well, it says, will be rolled back like a scroll. And all of mankind will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. That's where the lost people go. They're not saved. And we're standing behind the throne as a testimony. And they're in front of the throne. And it says the books were opened. That's the books of their works. That's the book of life. And that's the Lamb's book of life. And I talked about how they're going to be judged by their works, not for reward, but for punishment. God's a just God. Everybody won't be treated the same, but they'll all be punished in the lake of fire. And he's going to prove it to them, because he's going to read their name that was put in the book of life. Everybody's name's put in there when you're born, the book of life. That's why it's called that. But then if you don't receive him, he'll go over here and read the Lamb's book of life, where you never received him. Your name will be missing. So they'll blot your name out of the book of life, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth built, where there'll be righteousness, there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more human beings. We'll all be glorified in our glorified body. Eternal body, immortal, eternal, and uncorruptible, he says. And so we'll forever and ever, the new Jerusalem's coming down to that new world, and we'll be able to go back and forth into heaven. It's 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high, and we'll be able to go up and back and forth up to the throne of God. And so that brings us where we are tonight. Revelation 22. He says, don't seal this up. This is the end of the book. He said, hey, if they're unjust, let them be unjust still. It's too late to change it. If they're filthy, let them be filthy still. It's too late to change it. If they're righteous, let them be righteous. If they're holy, let them be holy. This is the end. This is it. This is finished. He said, verse 12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, Colossians 1:16 says, by him all things were created, and by him all things consist. Yes. Jesus Christ created the universe with his words. He spoke it into being. And now, at the end, he's going to be the one to stop it. Right. And that's why I called it, when God stops his clock. Now, right now, we're under the age of grace. Grace means undeserved favor, undeserved love. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God, and that's Ephesians 2:8-9. You can't work to get it. You can't get baptized to get it. Can't join church to get it. Can't quit smoking, lying, cussing, cheating, stealing to get it. It's by grace. It's undeserved. All you got to do is ask for it. He'll give it to you. And that's the age we live in. Anybody can be saved. Whosoever will, he says, let him come, drink of the water of life freely. That water in John chapter 4 that Jesus told that woman at the well by that unclean woman said, if any man drink of the water I have to give him, he'll never thirst again. And she said, evermore, give me some of this water to drink. She drank of Jesus, it said. And he went into town. She went into town and said, come see a man that told me all that I ever done is not this to Christ. That's the age we live in. You can't be too bad to be saved. And you can't be too good to be saved. Amen? It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Now, according to Revelation chapter 6, turn over there. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. He says, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, he goes forth against the wicked crowd. Now, did you know when that happens, the age of grace is going to be over.
Right.
The age of grace is done. Yeah. There'll be no unmerited favor. There'll be no more undeserved love. From here on, from that point on, it's going to be judgment on everybody on planet Earth. Of course, we're not going to be here. We left in Revelation chapter 4. I heard a trumpet, and he said, come up hither. And the doors were open, we went up to heaven. But here is definitely a time where he says, all right, this is it. The judge is coming. He's on his way. The age of grace is done. It's finished. Now, we're living in the age of grace. Anybody can be saved. Thank God, because I got saved. And I certainly don't deserve it. A lot better people in here than I am. I was talking to a man one day, I think it was me and Mike or somebody was talking to a man who had been to the penitentiary and was trying to get him to come to church up there at Clover. You remember that in that trailer, Brother Mike? And he said, if your people knew what I did, they wouldn't want me to sit beside them in their church. I said, if you knew what some of my people did, you wouldn't want to sit beside them in church. I said, don't flatter yourself. You ain't no greater sinner than anybody else. We're all sinners. Amen? There ain't no great sinners and lesser sinners. It's just sinners. Amen? There's no big sin, little sin. It's just all sin. And I think it kind of shocked him. Another fellow told me one time, he said, if I come to your church, the roof would fall in if I came in there. I said, don't flatter yourself. There's been a lot greater sinners than you in my church. And I said, you're probably looking at one of them. I said, we're all saved by the grace of God. And sometimes these guys just glory in their sin. They think that it makes them tough like that. But it don't make sounds tough. It makes you sound stupid, you know. I mean, I'm going to hell because I'm tough. No, you're going to hell because you're stupid. You don't have to go to hell. Amen. You don't know how bad I've been. Yeah, but you don't know how good he's been. Amen. All right, now listen. The age of grace is going to be over. Everybody needs the grace of God. That's the day we live in. That's the day we live in. Now, I know we look at people the age we live in, there's some pretty perverted things going on. Would you say amen?
Amen.
I mean, there's some pretty demented, perverted things going on. And we don't like to see those people. We don't like to be around that kind of stuff. And we ought not, because God, the Holy Ghost, lives in us. He doesn't like that stuff. But at the same time, let me tell you something. Every one of those people could be saved by the grace of God. If they would turn to him, they could be saved. That's the age we live in. Whosoever will. That's it. And then I want you to notice this. When God stops the clock, not only will the age of grace be over, but look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Now, remember, when you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in you. And there's one easy verse to remember on that. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." That means he's going to be present with you. Even when you eat, he's going to live in you. Now, he does that by his Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ does not enter in you, but his Holy Spirit enters in you. And that's the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but they're all one mind, one spirit, one will. Okay? So, when we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 7, he says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." We know he's talking about the Antichrist and the teachings that are Antichrist and the religions that are Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." In other words, there's somebody allowing those things to be taught. There's somebody allowing those false teachings and misbeliefs and things like that. Well, he's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because God, the Holy Spirit, he could stop anything he wants to. He's God.
Right.
But he allows it. He lets it. And he also hinders it so it doesn't go but so far.
Amen.
He hinders it.
Amen.
Now, but when we're taken out of the way, when we're raptured out of here, that booger's going to have his way. He won't be hindered anymore. See, the devil doesn't go down to the beer joint to bother people. He's at church every Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He's in religious circles, false teaching, misleading
right.
people. Amen. Changing the scriptures. So whenever God stops his clock, when it all winds down, and he said, "Okay, this is the end," then the Holy Spirit will come out with us in the rapture. Because he lives in us. And some people say, "Well, when I see that happen, I'll get saved." No, you won't. If you're going to read that, it says that they wouldn't be saved while they could. So God allowed them to believe a lie.
Right.
You see, he's going to turn that old devil loose and that Antichrist spirit loose to where he'll deceive people.
Yeah.
When God stops the clock, the age of grace is gone, and God said, "This is winding down, I'm about to just finish it up." Then the Holy Spirit will come out. Remember, he came down on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
He didn't live in people before that day. Jesus had to die for our sins before he could move into a believer. And then after that, all believers receive his Spirit. When you receive Christ, his Spirit came into you, and now he lives in you. That's how you got a new mind. You didn't notice your mind changed about stuff when you got saved? Boy, I walked in that church one way and I walked out another way. I walked in a loony liberal and I walked out the most conservative person I could ever imagine. And people looked at me and said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I don't know. I just went down there and asked the Lord to save me. He did. And this is how I came out." Amen. And so that Holy Spirit changes your heart. And he changes your mind. And he regenerates that old dead spirit. Makes it alive. Now, he did that by moving in. Now, he empowers us sometimes. You'll watch people like old Jimmy Swaggart and stuff like that talking about being filled with the Spirit. He will fill you sometimes to overflowing to where you'll be a good witness or you'll do a good work for God.
Amen.
But that's not our normal state. That's a more of a supernatural time. But he moved in that day. Now, whenever God says, "All right, let's stop the clock right here," the Holy Spirit says, "All right, church, we're fixing to go up. All believers will go up at the sound of that trumpet. Dead bodies will be raised that were believers to unite with their soul and spirit. And we'll go up, and the Holy Spirit goes up with us."
Amen.
Now, listen to this. Can you imagine what it would be like on planet Earth with a world full of people that had no God in them at all? Where all satanic power is turned loose. Can you? We look at these weird things on TV, you know, and you got all these perverted people teaching, preaching, hollering, carrying signs and all this stuff. But you know the only thing that hinders more of that? It's the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
And when God stops his clock, the Holy Spirit's leaving out of here.
Amen.
And he's the only thing that lets.
Yeah.
And he's the only thing that hinders sin. In our lifetime, we've heard of men like Bundy. We've heard of men like Dahmer, that guy that kidnapped people and eat them. We've heard of people like Charles Manson and all these perverted men. And I read in the paper sometimes, perverted men and women.
Right.
What's going to happen when that kind of thinking is just turned completely loose? Well, it's going to happen. Right now, he convicts us of our sin. Right now, when he converts us, he gives us a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. Right now, he seals us by his Holy Spirit. He seals us just like putting a lid on that thing. Jesus said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. The Holy Spirit seals you in Christ. You couldn't get lost again if you wanted to. He'll keep bringing you back and bringing you back because you're sealed by his Spirit. The devil can't get you. And then once he seals us and we live this life, then we die, that same Spirit's going to raise us up from the dead. And then that same Spirit right now is leading us. It leads us. If we read the Word of God and we pray and we just try to follow the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit doing that. You ever done something since you've been saved and when you start doing it, you start to thought, man, I don't know if I ought to be doing this or not. That's the Holy Spirit that does that. See? Or you might should have been doing something you thought, well, I ought to be doing that. Well, that's the Holy Spirit that does that. See? He leads you. That ain't your conscience. Your conscience is wicked. You can, you can sear your conscience. And that certainly ain't your heart. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and no man can know his heart. These girls say, well, if I know my heart, I love that guy. And see her 20 years later and see what she thinks about that guy. Amen. Listen, your heart, don't follow your heart. Follow the Spirit through the Word of God. And then his Spirit teaches us. By faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I used to pick up the Bible and try to read it when I was lost. It was completely out of the world to me. I couldn't understand it. How in the world could you try to read some of the Bible? I think, man, those people's on drugs. That's some of the craziest stuff I ever heard in my life. But then when the Holy Spirit moved in, he teaches me. Now when the Spirit, when God says time's up, Spirit's going. Those people after the rapture are not going to have all this. Okay, you understand that? Now, and then whenever finally that clock stops, look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Are y'all hot? Some of you's hot. Well, I wish I could find somebody to operate this thing. I look stupid. Thank you. All right, listen. 4:1 says this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, once God stops the clock, there will be no Christians on planet Earth to do the work of Christ. You know who started all the original hospitals? Christians. You know who started the Salvation Army? Christians.
Yeah.
You know who started the orphanages? Christians.
Yes, sir.
You know who started the poorhouses? Christians.
Come on.
You know who fights wickedness in our country and gets together and makes new laws to try to protect us and take care of us? Christians. And when God stops that clock, when he says, all right, time's up, all of us are going to be taken out of here. So what's the world going to be like? Church is going to be gone. The real church. Now, don't get me wrong. There'll be some buildings that have people in them that next Sunday. But if they're here then, you know they're not the real Christians. They would have been taken out. Some of them will go ahead and have their religious ceremony. They'll burn their incense, you know, and they'll offer their little wafers up to heaven, and they'll offer their little drink up, you know, they think it turns into the blood of Jesus. And some of them will still try to do good works, and they'll still live in their little monasteries, you know, and all that stuff. But there won't be a real one left. We're going out of here. He said, come up hither. And he took me up. Amen. He's going to take us out of here. So who's going to do the work of God? Nobody. Nobody's going to do that. You want to know what happens whenever lost people get in onto the work of God? They don't have hospitals anymore. Now they've got medical centers. You try to get in the medical center without money. They'll stabilize you and put you out on the street. They'll say, you ain't got no insurance. You can't stay here. That's because lost people took over the hospital organization. You try to get lost people to run an orphanage, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have so many reports of child molestation you ain't never thought about. They hurt children. They don't help children. Amen? Let the lost people take over the education institutions. You're talking about teaching idiocy and what happened. They'll ruin it. Now, when God stops the clock, there'll be nobody on planet Earth to do God's work anymore. Right. Now, we live in a part of the country where it's God's work is everywhere. Right. I mean, we may not agree with all Christians on everything they do, but there's a lot of Christians around here.
Yes.
If you don't believe it, go up north. Go out west and see how things are really run. In states that's full of lost people.
Yes.
Where they've crowded out the church and they've crowded out Christianity and they've kicked them out of schools and they've kicked them out of the colleges and they've kicked them out of the hospital and they've kicked them out of the orphanages, and now look what's running those places.
Right.
People up north, out west move down here, they say, man, I like it down here. People's friendly. They speak to you. Oh, we like Southern culture. That's not Southern culture. That's Bible Christianity.
Yes, sir.
The problem is they lost it up there, and we kept it down here. Even the lost people practice it half the time because they're raised right according to Bible Christianity. Amen?
Exactly.
Now you take Christ out of here and you take all the believers out of here, you got a mess.
Right.
When God stops that clock. And then I want you to notice this, Revelation chapter 6 again. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. This is a good way to stop one year and start another one. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Listen, one day God is going to reveal himself to lost mankind, and they're going to see what God's really like. I mean, he's going to shake this place up, buddy. Right now, he's Jesus Christ, the humble servant, the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, the peacemaker, the joy giver. But one day, when he stops that clock and says, time's up, I'm bringing judgment to planet Earth, mankind's going to see what God's really like. God's an awesome God. God's holy and righteous and pure and perfect. He's not the old man upstairs. You and Jesus don't have a deal. Amen. He has some requirements. He requires holiness and righteousness. And that's why he sent his son to die in our place, so that we could have his holiness and his righteousness. And the Bible says that it's a terrible thing to stand before an angry God.
Yes.
He's not going to look at you and say, some of y'all ain't old enough. You probably, some of you probably remember Phil Donahue. I called him Phil Commie Hugh. Y'all remember him?
Yes.
You old people, I can tell you old, you said yeah. But he was the first shock talk show host on television. I mean, he'd have crazy people on there. Amen. You remember that? Wasn't you on there one time? But he had crazy people on there. And they had all kind of crazy. One time he had the husband beaters anonymous on there. He brought these big old women on there that was guilty of beating her husband. And the shameful thing is, her husbands came on with them. I never would have done that. I'd have lied. My wife hits me sometimes, but she's so little it don't hurt. Listen. Phil Donahue, he had Jerry Falwell on there, and he had a couple other preachers he thought were real conservative, and he had E.V. Hill, one of the greatest black preachers that ever lived. He was pastor of, I think it's Bethel Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California, back in the 50s and the 60s. He was an old-fashioned man of God. He didn't give an inch. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't scared. And I'm talking about an old-fashioned leather lung preacher, amen? Barrel-chested, blue-blooded, not little old wimpy thing, you know, with his flip-flops on, but a man of God, amen? He was on there. So Phil Donahue asked him, you know, what you think about this and what you think about that, you know? And he asked E.V. Hill, of course, since he is black, he said, what do you think's wrong with the black people of America? What's wrong? What's going on with this stuff? And E.V. Hill looked at him, didn't wince, not one bit. He said, what's wrong with the black family of this country is the black pulpit of this country. He said, they used to cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy sin. He said, now they're raising money and marching, carrying signs. He said, and they need to get back to preaching the book.
Yes, sir.
And he looked over at Jerry Falwell. He said, what do you think's wrong with the white families in this country? He said, just like him, they need to get back in the Bible. Yes. They need to get back in church. They need to get right with God. It saved their family. It saved the country. And then Phil Donahue, finally, of course, he saved his till last, since he's the smartest one, you know. And he said, well, preachers, I think all of you is wrong. I disagree with all of you. He said, I think God's like a big old grandpa. And he's got this big white beard and this big long white hair, and he's sitting up on his rocking chair, and those gates of heaven are there. And in the end, he's going to say this. Y'all come on in. And everybody will get to go to heaven. Of course, he didn't give the preachers a chance to answer that. The show was over. But I got news for you. He ain't your grandpa. He's God. He's holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. He won't even be in the presence of sin. Sin can't be in his presence. He cast out old Lucifer and a third of heaven one time because Lucifer sinned, and all he said was, I'm going to be like God and sit on that throne. His pride got him cast out of heaven. He was cast down to earth. He ain't in hell, he's on earth. And let me tell you something. When God stops the clock, mankind's going to find out God's real.
Amen.
We're fixing to send a missile or something to, where was it, Jupiter? I think they're sending a missile to Jupiter. They're talking about putting people living on the moon and Mars. I think most of those people talking about that ought to live on the moon or Mars. I think they've been watching too much science fiction television, amen? But they're talking about that stuff, you know, and they think because they went out there and they didn't see God that he ain't there. Well, I got news for you. They're looking in the wrong place. He's right here. He's everywhere. You know, if they'd have turned in faith to Jesus Christ on the dark side of the moon, they'd have found him right here. And if they turned on the light side of the moon, they'd have found him. But they ain't looking for God. They're looking for Grandpa. But they're going to find out God's real. And he's coming in all his power and all his glory. And the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. And the heavens are going to be rolled back like a scroll. And you'll see where God is at last. In eternity. They make fun of him now, but payday's coming, buddy. Go ahead and laugh at us now, but there's payday coming. And then whenever God stops the clock at last, turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. You still with me?
Yes, sir.
You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
I don't care if you are or not. Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Amen.
So then every one of us, everyone that's ever been born or ever will be born, is going to give account for what they did, how they lived, and how they treated his son.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are going to seal their own doom. They're going to seal their own doom. For whatever reason, some people think they're too tough, you know. Some people think they're going to wait a while. Some of them laugh at it, make fun of it. But I've got news for you. There's a day coming, everyone will give account for themselves. I hear people say, well, I used to go to church. I don't anymore. It's full of hypocrites. I said, well, why don't you come sit with the rest of us? Amen. I'd rather go to hell with a hypocrite. I mean, go to heaven with a hypocrite than go to hell with an unbeliever. Amen. At least a hypocrite's going to heaven. He just ain't a good one. That's all. Now you listen to me. You will make your own doom, or you'll make your own salvation with what you do with Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a pretty good fella. No, there's none good. The best thing we do is selfish. Because whenever we do something trying to be good, we're just doing it for selfish reasons. Well, look what I did. I helped them. Well, look what I did. I gave some money. Well, look what I did. I went to church. Well, look what I did. I sang in the choir. Well, if that's the reason you do it, that's selfishness. That's sin. But if you say, look what I did because Jesus loved me first. Amen. I did it for him. Every one of us will give account for what we did in our body. Now, of course, we as believers, as I said, judgment seat of Christ for reward or loss. Lost people at the white throne judgment for determine how much punishment. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that death, hell, and the grave will be cast into the lake of fire. And if hell is in the heart of the earth, which we know it is, the Bible says so, then when it's cast in the lake of fire, where's the lake of fire? Everybody in hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. I believe it's the sun. It's a big old lake of fire. That's all it is. It's out there in space. And it'll hold about 800 million Earths, I think. But the point being, you'll decide that.
Right.
When God stops the clock, you decide what your judgment will be.
That's right.
It's all up to you. You can't blame the preacher anymore.
Amen.
You can't blame mom and daddy anymore. Or your husband or your wife anymore. Or your Sunday school teacher. What are you going to do with how he's going to judge you? And quit worrying about everybody else. Amen. I don't worry about your sins. I have enough trouble with my own. Amen. That's what I say. Have mercy, Lord. Amen. I look in the mirror every day. Every day I see my worst enemy, me. Amen. I'm not pointing my finger at you. If you get in on it, that's your problem. You got messed up getting involved with the mess. Amen. I look at me and I say, oh boy, you need some help. Help, Lord. But one day, when that clock runs out, one day God will be against man. He ain't against you right now. He's for you. And then last but not least, Hebrews 9:27, of course, says it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, one day the clock's going to stop on you. You ever thought about that? Now, when I was young, you know, growing up, we didn't go to funerals. We hardly ever went to a funeral because we didn't go to church. I remember when I was about 8 years old, my oldest sister, Nancy, she was 22. She had a heart attack, and she died, and we didn't have a preacher or pastor, nothing like church or nothing like that. So back then, the funeral home would bring them to your house. And she was in our living room, open, with a light on it, all night long. And you talking about a little old boy, about 8 years old, never seen death before. That scared me.
Yes, sir.
I didn't sleep all night. That scared. I loved her, but I was scared. She was dead, and there was a dead body there, and I didn't know what to do about that. And then over the years, as I would go to funerals before I was saved, you know why we didn't like to go to funerals? It made us remember that we're going to die too.
Yes.
We didn't like to think about that. And now I go to the hospital, I visit people dying, and I walk into the room, and Brother Jeffrey, the family, I'll go in, I'll say, so-and-so told me you were here, and I wanted to come by and pray for you. I know you're getting ready to go home to heaven, or something like that, you know. And family say, shh, no, 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 we don't talk about that. We're going to get over this. We're going to win. Doctor walk in, you know, sometimes say, we're going to beat this. And I think, you're not going to beat this. This is death.
Yes.
You need to own up to it. Admit it. We're going to die. It's a terrible thing to think about. But one day, the clock of God is going to stop on me and you. We don't know. We're fixing to start 2019, right? I'm trying to think of a saying to go with that. Let Christ be seen in 2019 in me. But we're about to enter into a new year. And we don't have a promise we're going to finish this year. Matter of fact, I can just about promise you by the time 2020 turns around, somebody's not going to be here. Who would have ever thought that little 16-year-old girl would drink a bottle of liquor and die? I preached the funeral of a baby that was born dead. I preached the funeral of young people. I preached the funeral one time of a young girl that had gotten killed in a car wreck. And boy, it was awful. Her kids rode our bus, and it was awful. It was, the whole thing was sin. The whole thing was sin. There was no hope for anything about that funeral. Then I preached funerals of other people that were saved and going to heaven, and people shouting and crying and singing at the funeral, clapping and laughing, glory, hallelujah, amen, I'll see you on the other side. Amen. But God's got a clock. Now we know what's going to happen when the world goes to the stopping of that clock. But what's going to happen to you? Now you right now you got time to prepare for the stopping of His clock. You got ready. In the Old Testament, He says, "Prepare to meet thy God." Old Ralph Sexton Sr., most of y'all probably never heard of him. He was a great old preacher up in Asheville, North Carolina, one of my heroes. He said him and his brother, when he first got called to preach, said him and his brother said they had a 1949 Ford automobile. You know, one of them big giant things, you know, had a living room in the front seat, you know. And he said they went and bought these big old bull horns. You couldn't get a little speaker back then. He said, big old long bull horns. And they tied them up on the roof of that car. And they got microphone put in the car, hooked to those big old speakers on top of the car, and said, they wrote all over that car with paintbrushes, "Prepare to meet thy God." So they just wrote stuff like that all over the car. And he said it was a sight when that car would be leading the hearse down to the cemetery. He said late on Saturday night they'd get up in the hills of Asheville, you know, you get up there, you see those houses, those lights all down there, and he said they'd wait till about 11 o'clock and they'd watch all the lights start going out, you know, and after it seemed like all the lights were out, he said he'd get on that microphone and he'd say, "Prepare to meet thy God." And he said he'd go all down through those valleys. He said the lights started coming back on. Now we laugh, but you know what? Ain't it the truth? Nobody ever wants to get ready till the plane's about to take off. I know some people probably be late. But I'm going to tell you this. The clock's stopping one day. Now, the good thing is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, you already know it. For those of us, our body will go into the ground, but one day the trumpet will sound and it'll be raised again.
Amen.
The Bible calls that our blessed hope.
Yeah.
Our blessed hope.
Yes.
Now, what do the lost people have when their clock runs out? Without hope and without God in this present evil world, he says. When I was younger, I was the one everybody would call on to preach their funeral if they didn't have a preacher or a church. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I preached some sad funerals. Now, I tried to get people comfort and I tried to encourage them. I've never beat people up at the funeral. That ain't time to do that. And I talked about heaven. I would usually mention the one that had died in front of me. But I'd always say this, if he could come back, if he could preach today, or if she could preach today, they would tell you Nahum 1:7. And Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yeah. Amen.
And they would try to tell you, you need to know him so he'll know you when your time runs out.
Yeah.
Our world's in a mess.
Right.
The clock's ticking. I think we're about 2:58 on God's clock.
Right.
We're running out of time. If you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Right.
I don't care if you've joined every church in town. I don't care if you've been baptized 10, 15 times. If you're not saved, you know it.
Right.
People used to accuse me of convincing people they were saved. You can't convince anybody they're saved. They know in their heart they're not saved.
Right.
If you're not saved, your time's about up. You got 1 or 2 minutes on that old clock. You're going to stand before a holy God. If you are saved, listen, your time for serving Christ is about up. And he's not going to take all the good intentions you have. One day I'm going to start doing this, and one day I'm going to start doing that, and next year I'm going to start. No, he's going to want to know what you did with the time you had. And you'll be judged to lose rewards or gain them. You know what would be a terrible thing for us to stand before the Lord empty-handed? And say, Lord, this is what I had. This is what I did for you in life. Nothing. I never tried to witness to anybody. I wasn't even faithful to church. I didn't try to do anything for you or anybody else. I just lived selfishly. And here I am saved. And the Bible says, yet so is by fire.
Right.
Your words will just burn up.
Right.
I ain't going to be long. We'll have 2019 if the Lord don't come. He still can come before that clock ticks. Amen?
Amen.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
The question is, where are you going to be? In 2019, if we get it, he gives us a new start. What's he going to do with it? What's he going to do with it? And if you don't do what you got to do, you're going to look back and say, boy, I wish I had.
Right.
So on your clock, what you doing with it? Let's stand. Father, time's about out.